Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15. We're going to start in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that because you loved us, we can also love, Father, that all good things come from you. Father, true love comes from you, Father. Father, we thank you for that love that there was a sacrifice for us, Father, even when we were yet sinners. Father, we thank you that we can have that same love, and we thank you, Father, that you will help us with that as we love one another. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we talked last time about the commandment of God, and went into a little bit more detail on that being love and what he is meaning there when he is talking about his commandments. If you keep my commandments in verse 10, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And we talked about that and how we cannot love God if we don't love the brethren. And that the love of Christ is a love that sacrifices for the spiritual benefit of those who, for everyone, the lost or whoever, if they choose. But it's not a tolerant love. We talked about that a little bit too. It's not just a love that allows anything to happen or is fine with anything. It's a love that's sacrificing for the benefit of someone else. And that's the type of love that Jesus talks about us having. Again, it's not a tolerant love of just wickedness. It's a love so that hopefully that someone will repent. And so going on with that today, now we're going to, in the verses we read in verses 14 through 17, we're going to go over part one of this section here, even though we have read through it some before. We're gonna go a little more detail in verses 14 and 15. He mentions, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And in verse 15, he says, no longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So Jesus calls them friends. We look up, we think about like, well, who is God's friend? What does it take? Why is he calling the apostles his friends? Is it simply because he is taking them and chose them because they really didn't have a choice? And even when you go look at that, if you go look at when he chooses them, when he calls them to follow him, it's really not realistic to think that Jesus didn't know them before. Okay, it's not really logical to think that all of a sudden this random guy that they know nothing about walks up on the beach and he says, hey, leave your nets there and follow me. Okay, so he had some friendship with them physically before, and I bring that up because I think that's a good point in a physical example there of what we're going to talk about spiritually here, because a physical example where they were going to follow him because they were, and he picked them to follow him and to be close to him because they were his friends before. Okay, now I want to point out too, if you just flip back to chapter 13, and you can read from 27 down to 31, but just I'm going to key in on verse 30 and 31 there, talking about Judas here. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, and then he continues to talk, and then that's what we're leading up to here to chapter 15. Okay, so when we talk about that, Judas is not in the room. Okay, and that's a point where we're talking about being a friend of God, and being a friend of Jesus. Judas is not in the room here. I just kind of keep that tucked away for just a few minutes. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 33, though. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Verse 11. Says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Okay, so we kind of read through the history of Israel, and you see how when Israel was the people, when they heard the thundering, when they heard God speak or whatever it was, they were terrified. But you see Moses here, God talked to him face to face like he was a friend. But God talked to Moses because Moses loved God. I mean, God loved him first, obviously. We talked about love last week on that, how we love because he first loved us. But God loved Moses. Moses loved because God loved him. But God was a friend. Moses was a friend of God because he loved God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And in verse 8, he says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend. Okay, so Abraham was a friend of God as well. And if you think about Moses and Abraham for a minute, just for examples in the Old Covenant and the Old Testament. So Abraham, remember when the Lord came in Genesis chapter 18, and he is going to go and he's sending the two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham is. You could tell he's wanting to know what he's doing, and the Lord reveals it to him, and he mentions something, and I'm not maybe exactly quote off the top of my head here, but he mentions, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And you see, and you compare that, and you look at Moses too. Who did God communicate through to the people of Israel? He talked to Moses like he was face to face. So when you see that God's friends are first off those who love him and are obedient to him, but he communicates the things to him, to his friends. He doesn't, and obviously Moses and Abraham didn't have all of the information, but they had information that other people at their time didn't. They had more information than other people at their time didn't. They knew things from God. They had talked to God because they were, and he revealed things to them because they were his friends. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Now God talking about the physical nation of Israel and Judah here. And he says in the first part of the chapter how he was they had turned away from him. They had followed after, been completely polluted. They've become like as a harlot. And then in verse 4, he says, have you just now called to me, my father? You are the friend of my youth. Will you be angry forever? Will he be indignant to the end? Behold, you have spoken and you have done evil things, and you have had your way. So you have God talking here. If you look at verse 1, it says, God says, Okay, God is talking there. And so God says, he's quoting them in verses 4 and in the first half of verse 5. he's quoting to them and he's saying, have you just called me friend, or called to me my father? You are my friend of my youth. Will you be angry? Will you be indignant to the end? Have you just now done that? He's asking the question to them. Have you just now done that? After all the stuff that God has done for them, after all the stuff that he did, and they kept following after false gods and polluting themselves. And he says, have you not just now called me and saying, my father, you're my friend of the youth? And then God says, behold, you have spoken, you have done evil things, and you have had your way. It's almost a question like, you're really going to call me friend now? I've wanted to be a husband to you since the beginning, since your youth, and you've done all this stuff, you've rejected me, and you've actually are calling me a friend? You have had your way and you have spoken. See, they were not, you could make the argument, even though it doesn't specifically say that the nation was not a friend of God's, you can see who God communicated to under the old covenant. Those who were obedient to him, those who wanted to be with him. And then you see in Jeremiah, or in Exodus 33, that Joshua was always there as well, and Joshua was the next one who led the people of Israel. And God communicated through Joshua. See, he desired to be where Moses was because Moses was close to God. And the people of Israel fled and wanted Moses and said, you go speak to him for us. They wanted Moses to speak to him and they would stay away. But Joshua wanted to be with Moses. The nation as a whole was not God's friends because they did not love God. They weren't considered friends if they were doing what is wicked. Have you not just called to me, my father, you are my friend from my youth? Now you realize it when you're about ready to be taken captive. Now you want to be friends? It's not a true friendship. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Paul writes here, he says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And there's things he said before that about he who loves his neighbor fulfills the law in verse 8 and so on. But love does no wrong. If they loved God, they wouldn't have done wrong to God. They wouldn't have disobeyed him. They wouldn't have followed after other gods. They wouldn't have made other idols. They wouldn't have worshipped and done some of the things that they did, or a lot of the things that they did, with false gods and other nations. But they didn't love God. So they did wrong. If they would have actually loved God, they wouldn't have done wrong. And they would have been considered his friend. Now, God first loved us, and then we loved him, and that is true, and we talked about that. But we are friends of God because he loved us. Because you can't, and we don't go over all the passages now, but God's love does not mean that you're automatically a friend. You can love someone and want the best for them and want them to do what's right without being a friend to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 6. Yet we speak a wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, is not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood has understood. If they had understood, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the things that God has hidden beforehand, and notice he even uses that word predestined. Okay, and we're going to get into that word here in a little bit, talking about us. But the wisdom of God, he predestined before the ages to our glory, Paul says. And he prepared these things for those who love him, he says in verse 9. And we have those things, we love him. So he prepared them to us, and he communicates that through his Spirit who indwells us. Okay, so God prepared the things for us who love him. So when we talk about back in John chapter 15, when Jesus says, "You are my friends," you are my friends. I don't call you slaves, but I have made known everything to you. God made known everything to us, the things from his Father, because we are his friends. And we are his friends because we loved him. And we loved him because he loved us first. But you see the progression there, though, is that he didn't make things known just to make things known. He made things known to his friends. And his friends are not just people, because they are people. They are people who love him. And that's who he communicates to, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Verse 16, back in John chapter 15. Verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God chose us because we loved him and are his friends. You see that progression there. Let's look at that a little more. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4. Paul writes here, he says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." So Paul writes in Ephesians that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He predestined us as adoption of sons. Remember, we had the term predestined before as we were looking at. He predestined wisdom to our glory. He's prepared it for those who love him. Here he says he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be blameless, and he predestined us as the adoption of sons. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, verse 28 is relatively a quoted scripture by quite a pretty often quoted scripture by a lot of people, even if it doesn't necessarily apply to them. But I want you to kind of notice how, because there's not like a break between verses 29 and 28 and 29. Paul is writing this letter here, and it has to do with prayer, which we're not going to talk about prayer this week, but we're going to talk about prayer next week, because that's what it talks about in John as well, John 15. So it's kind of keep that in the back of your mind too for next week too. But in verse 28, he says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now remember what he said before, he predestined us according before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless, which would be kind of according to his purpose. Okay? Predestined to us to be adoption of sons, which would be according to his purpose. But he talks here about the God causes all things to work out for good for those who love him. We've already talked about what love is. Because the nation of Israel, when you cannot say that they loved God because they did wrong to God. Love does no wrong. Now we're not talking about mistakes. We're talking about intentions of the heart. Did Moses make some mistakes? Yeah. Did Abraham make mistakes? Yes. Did David make mistakes? Yes. We're not talking about a mistake. We are talking about a intention of the heart, a mindset of the heart. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 4, we talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is, sword is the Spirit of God, the Word of God. It pierces even as far as the division of soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, so the Word of God is that far piercing. It's about the intentions of the heart. It's not about an external love or whatever or showing of love. But God has caused all things to work together, in verse 28, for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. It is based upon what? That we love him. That's the context of the scripture there. He causes all things to work together for those who love him. Those who are called according to his purpose, and he foreknew, those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And then verse 30, these he predestined, he called, and these who he called, he justified, these he justified, he glorified. It had to do based upon God's foreknowledge that we loved him. Now, people are going to say, and that's why we can't just take one passage, or maybe even it's multiple passages. You can't take multiple passages to build a thought that goes contrary to God's thought as a whole. We're not just talking about one verse that's contrary to God's whole picture. We're talking about even multiple verses that build a thought, that build a belief, that go contrary to God's plan as a whole. And God's plan as a whole was that he foreknew those whom he predestined. He did not choose those who didn't love him. Was Judas in the room when he said this in John chapter 15? He was not. Yes, he chose him as being one of his disciples or his apostles. Yes, and I'm not saying that, but you got it. Judas wasn't in the room at this time. When he is in the context of the passage here, he's not in the room. Now, you could probably go to passages and say, well, that Jesus chose him, but he betrayed him even though he chose him. Okay? And yes, choosing somebody to be a follower or a close companion is different than being physically, is different than choosing someone to reveal the wisdom to him. Because the Judas saw a lot of things, but the Judas really sink at the end there, you could even say, did the wisdom really sink in? If the wisdom really sunk in, then he would not have went and hung himself. He would have understood what Jesus was about. He would have understood that his forgiveness and what he came to earth to do, to seek and save the lost. If he really understood the wisdom of God, then he wouldn't have done what he did. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of God. Go back to John chapter 15. But those he predestined, he foreknew. That predestination was based upon the love that they had for him, that he knowing the love that they had for him. He foreknew the love. He foreknew that they would be friends. He foreknew that they would love. And that in the context of John chapter 15, when he says in verse 14 there, it even kind of gives you the hint there, you are my friends if you do what I command you. What did he command him? What was his commandment? His commandment was to love one another just as I have loved you. And if you love one another, if you keep my commandments, which is loving one another in verse 10, you will abide in my love just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And the commandment he had was that we would love one another just as he loved us. And greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. The sacrificial type of love, not a tolerant type of love that tolerates everything. So, you are my friends if you're going to do what I command you to. If you're going to love like I have asked you to love, then you're going to be my friends. That is why you're my friends. And no longer call yourself slaves. Because the slave, because we loved God, or maybe we can work this backwards. Well, let's work this forward. Because God loved us, we love him, which is keeping his commandment that he instructs us here. And if we keep what he commands, we are his friends. And if we are his friends, in verse 15, we are no longer to be considered slaves. So when we're talking about choosing, we're talking about friendship. I think it's tied together here in John 15, and we're talking about choosing. See, the Calvinist view of that is that God chose us based upon what we have done, not based upon he chose us and made us to be that way. Is the Calvinist view. Of predestination or choosing. But Jesus here, and with the understanding of from Romans chapter 8 as well, is that he causes all things to work together for those who love him, and he foreknew us. That's why he predestined us. But those who do what he commands are friends. And his commandment is loving one another. And so the friends are based upon fulfilling the commandment, not based upon God making us that way. Did he love us first? Yes. But it does not mean that he chose us before we loved him. He absolutely did love us first. He loved us while we were still yet sinners, before we loved him. But then, because we loved him, because he loved us, we loved him. And because we loved him, we loved the brethren. Because we cannot love love God who we have not seen, according to John's epistle in 1 John. We cannot love the brother or the God who we have not seen if we don't love the brethren who we have seen. So we love God and we love the brethren. We're fulfilling the commandment that he has given to us. And if we fulfill the commandment, we are his friends, and we are no longer slaves. And when we are made to do something, a slave is made to do something. When we don't have the relationship with God, that's a slave relationship. There's no communication there. The slave doesn't get into the discussion of what the master is doing. And I, with that said, I mean, these are Jesus' words here when he says, no longer shall you be slaves. Because people can go and say, well, we're called slaves other places. Okay, it's not my words you're arguing with here. Yeah, he gives that example. We are servants of God. But we are children of God and we are friends of God. And he is telling us here that we are no longer slaves if we do what he commands us, which is love one another. We are no longer slaves. There's a relationship here having to do with him revealing the things to us and choosing us. The choosing us is based upon the relationship. Because we are his friends and he has made known the things from the Father which he prepared for us beforehand, before the foundation of the world, to our glory. And he has prepared for those who love him, which is us. So since he loved us, we love him. Since we love him, we fulfill the commandment. Since we fulfill the commandment, we are his friends. Since we are his friends, he reveals the things hidden from the world to us. And he has a relationship with us. And since we are friends, we have a relationship with him. And since we are friends, he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Now, that might seem like, well, if he chose us based upon us going to be friends. The foreknowledge that God has was based upon, it wasn't the source that we have, isn't the love that we have is not because we have love first. It's that God loved us first. But he chose us because we loved him and he knew we were going to love him. That's why he could choose us before the foundation of the world. But he chose us because we were friends, because he foreknew that we would be his friends. And so it is based upon our choice. And people might argue and say, well, if it's not us choosing him, but him choosing us, how could we make the choice to be friends first? Now, he chose us because we are his friends, is what he is saying there. That's the order he talks there. He chose us because we are friends. If we didn't choose him, we didn't go and die so that we could have that friendship with God. He came and died so that we could have the friendship with him, and he chose us because we responded and are friends. Judas is not here in this context. You might be able to build a context there or somewhere else where it says that God has chosen Judas. But chosen him for a physical ministry. He did share in that ministry, yes. And Peter talks about that, I think, in Acts chapter 1 as well. But Jesus did not choose him. And he didn't choose as one who is an inherit eternal life. Because if you're going to go on that technical choosing, then Judas would be in. If it was based specifically on Jesus choosing Judas, then Judas would be in heaven. And the way Peter talks in Acts chapter 1 does not sound like he is in heaven. So God can choose to, on one hand, God could choose or call someone, because Judas was called for that ministry, but they can turn away. But God chose us. And the reason that he chose them was because he knew they were going to be friends. The reason he revealed the things to them was because they were his friends. And that's why he chose them to reveal those things to them. Not to him. He would reveal those things to them. It doesn't say that God chose us and that's why we love him. And that's why we're his friends to him. Specifically, just because he chose us. Judas would have continued in the way if that was true. But the ones who want to be his friends, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like David, just like Joshua, were those who wanted to be around him. Did God not choose Israel as a physical nation? In a physical sense? He did. And the nation rejected him as a whole. So there's two different types of choosing there, if you want to say it. Because God, if God chose them and they rejected him, then just God choosing them didn't make them predestined. So the choosing was based upon something. God did chose them. In that sense, he chose them to be a people, but they had a choice to continue in that. So God chose those who to be with him for eternity were those who loved him and those who were his friends. And God revealed the things that he had didn't reveal to anyone else, to Abraham, to Moses, to David, and more so to us through his Spirit, because we are his friends and are no longer slaves in his relationship with him. And that's important to understand as we're going to continue to go on next week into bearing the fruit and asking, and whatever we ask, the Father will grant to us. And it's important to have that context, because we could just take verse 16 and make it about something that it's not, that hey, if we ask God anything, he's supposed to give it to us. No, God is giving those things to us based upon the things prior and in the context that he has given here. The true friends of God and those who are chosen in God are those who love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day and for our blessings. And Father, we thank you that you loved us, that we can love you. Father, that we have your Spirit within us, that we are your friends, that you have chosen us, Father, because of that choice we've made. You have chosen us to be conformed to the image of your Son through your foreknowledge, Father. And you cause those things to work out for us because we love you. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for revealing the things to us, Father, that the world does not know. And Father, help us as we take that and understand and grow and learn about you, that we can be more like you, and that we can be confident because we know that you are in control no matter what happens. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.